Phil did a great job last week sharing with us. Really appreciated his word. And I hope you got a chance to either be here in person, or if you didn't get a chance, that you heard it, or you can go back and listen to it or watch it, however you want to do that. If you caught it, he kind of started us off on a series, even though it wasn't really official then yet, but we're going to kind of keep going with the theme that he talked about, and that is talking about the Holy Spirit, because we are kind of in the Pentecost season, so we're kind of in between Easter, the resurrection, and the day of Pentecost. There is 50 days in between there, and we're in that 50 days right now. So we're talking about that idea of the coming, the Pentecost, and Pentecost is like it's Holy Spirit time, right? In the way that Christmas is little baby Jesus time, and Easter or resurrection is Jesus out of the grave, kind of a thing. Pentecost is Holy Spirit's time. It's the time on the church calendar for the Holy Spirit to shine, right? And we know that obviously the Holy Spirit has been throughout all of the scriptures, and it is throughout all the scriptures, but this is the time that it comes, Holy Spirit, he becomes our focus. And so we're going to be talking about Holy Spirit for a couple of weeks and getting into that. So with that, this new series is called Empowered, and that's what we're talking about this morning, power, all right? And I started to think about this time between Acts and, between the resurrection and Pentecost, and I went, you know, you got to go in between there. Really, we don't have that much scripture. It's a few verses in between there, between the end of the Gospels and Acts chapter 2. And my mind was immediately taken to one particular phrase, and it comes at the end of our reading today. So I want to go to Acts chapter 1, and we can start reading there this morning. So Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 3, and it says this. To these, so his disciples, to these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of things regarding the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And we know that John said that, right? John said, I come baptizing with water, but there is one who is coming after me, who I'm not worthy to tie his sandals, not worthy to touch his feet, basically. And he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So Jesus is like, hey, remember that time John said this? Remember it was foretold to you, and now I told you, and now it's coming, right? It's about to happen. So when they had gathered, when they had come together, they began asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that you will restore the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, it's not for you to know the periods of time or appointed times which the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and as far as the remotest parts of the earth. And after he said these things, he was lifted up while they were watching, and a cloud took him up out of their sight. So the phrase that caught my attention, or that immediately came to mind even before I read it, I'd be like, all right, what verse is that? Where is it? The phrase that I'm focusing on is, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And I just started thinking about it, and I started asking all these questions, writing these questions down. So what does it mean to receive power? Or especially, what did the disciples, what did those guys in that time, what did they understand that it meant to receive power and from the Holy Spirit? What did it mean for the Holy Spirit to come on them? What did it mean to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, right? All of those questions, because they had about 10 days from the time that this happened till the day of Pentecost. So there's some time in there where they're hanging out in Jerusalem going, is today the day? You know, what's going to happen? What does it mean? What was he talking about? Come in power. Like, what does all that mean? So I started asking those questions about those guys. And the reason I want to ask those questions about those guys and what they understood about it is because today I think we're still trying to figure that out, aren't we? Right? We don't really know. Right? We're kind of all over the place with it. What does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and to receive power, okay? And I know a lot of people where they would go with that, right? What they would understand that to mean. This is the Holy Spirit's time to shine, right? 10 days later, day of Pentecost, it happens. The Holy Spirit comes. There's speaking in tongues. And Peter gives an amazing sermon that cuts to the heart of 3,000 people who give their lives to Jesus on that day, right? So for some, the receiving of power is to speak in tongues, right? That's what it is. And they kind of stop there. And you can kind of see why, because if you read the rest of the book of Acts, there are many occasions where it says the Holy Spirit came over them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, whatever, and the evidence is they spoke in tongues, okay? There's a correlation there, and you can't really argue with it. But is that all Jesus meant, right? Is that all he was talking about? To receive power from the Holy Spirit is to speak in tongues? I don't think that's all he meant. I do think that happened on that occasion, and I do think that still happens today. I've experienced it, but I don't think it exhausts everything that Jesus is trying to say. You could also look at the rest of the book of Acts and the early church and say to receive power meant to be given power to do the miraculous, right? You can see that. Healings and casting out demons. You see people in the book of Acts filled with the Spirit doing these things. It's happening there. People being healed, people being freed. And you could say that's the power that we're talking about here. And I wouldn't argue with that either, right? I believe that's totally involved. And it's getting close to what I want to talk about this morning. Not totally, but it gets close to it. If you go back to the message from Easter Sunday, I'm not going to preach that message again, though I probably could, because it's worth it. Basically, what I was trying to drive home with that message, or what I felt like the Lord pressed upon me, was that the resurrection of Jesus from the grave was a supernatural event, right? It was supernatural. It did not hold to physics. It was not a part of the natural world. It was a spiritual reality that affected the physical world. So put that up there. When Jesus rose from the grave, it was a supernatural event and a spiritual reality that affected the physical world, okay? And so the bridge, the jump that I made was to say that when you and I are born again or made new or given a new heart or saved or whatever term you want to use, right, there is a very real spiritual and supernatural change that's taken place. It's very real. And it's way different than deciding to follow some new teachings or to follow some new philosophies. It's why we call it a new birth. It is a spiritual birth, okay? There is a very real spiritual transformation that takes place within you. And with that spiritual birth, you can expect that spiritual reality, that supernatural change, to affect the world around you and within you, okay? So when you're born again, it's a supernatural event and a spiritual reality that affects the physical world around you, right? That happened to Jesus, it happens to us. So to be filled with the Holy Spirit then is to be filled with the very nature of God. And so with that comes power, okay? You can't be filled with God without the power of God. So when Jesus tells these guys, these disciples, and he says, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. It's not just a statement of like, you know what, you're going to have strength to make it through the day. I know this life's going to be hard, but you'll make it, right? You're going to have power to make it through the day. That's not what he's talking about at all, right? It's a reality that he's saying that when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be filled with the same nature of God, the same nature of God that said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay? That's power. That's power. I absolutely believe that that power is in each and every one of you who is born again and filled with the Spirit. Absolutely believe that. Now, the confusing part about that is that I ask for healing and I pray for healing and I command healing in the name of Jesus with the authority of God who created the universe that lives inside of me, and nothing happens sometimes, right? Doesn't always happen. Maybe even much of the time it doesn't happen. I've seen it happen. I've experienced it. I've seen it happen in my own life when other people prayed, but not always. And that's confusing. It's confusing. And I don't really have an answer for that. Sorry. I don't. We can come up with some good theological explanations and theories about things. The Vineyard has the kingdom theology that does try to help us understand the already kingdom, or the already and the not yet. So the kingdom of God is here, and yet the kingdom of God is coming, and not yet, and all of those things. But ultimately, I just have to say, I don't know. I don't know. And so for people who have experienced this in real life, to sincerely believe that we've been given the power of God because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet we don't see results, quote, that's confusing, right? And for some people, that's like completely, distressing in a way that says, I don't know if I can believe this anymore. Leads them to questioning everything that they believe about God. And so I think if we let this discussion of the power of the Holy Spirit, receiving power from the Holy Spirit, I think if we let it end with our understanding of power to be that kind of power and only that kind of power, then we do ourselves kind of a pretty big disservice, and we do the world around us a pretty big disservice. Because while I wholeheartedly believe that that kind of supernatural power to interact with the world around us is real, if that's where we stop, I think we're missing out on another supernatural work that's happening within us. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. So this word from Acts chapter 1, that is the Greek word dunamis. It's spelled dynamis, D-Y-N-A-M-I-S. What does that sound like? Dynamite. Boom, right? Boom! Explosion. If you look up that word in the rest of the New Testament, it's pretty great because that's the word that's translated miraculous, miracles, right? Wonders, just boom, dynamite stuff. Like, oh my goodness, did you see that? Right? It's the change of the physical world in dramatic ways because of the spiritual implications that are happening, or the spiritual things that are happening. Dunamis. That was my phone. I'm getting messages. But it also means power. Dunamis also means power in the sense of, like, I have the ability to do things. It's much less dynamic in that sense. It comes from the root word dunamai, which means to be able to be capable of, strong enough, right? I am able to pick up this chair or this stool. It's an action that is within one's ability. So it's much less flashy, much less dynamic in those terms. And I think as we go through life with that dynamite understanding of power, that miraculous, world-changing, big, flashy, oh my goodness, did you see that? You're not going to believe this. It was amazing. If that is the understanding that we go through life with, that is the only power that we receive in the Holy Spirit that I can expect and to have in my relationship with God, what happens in the in-between, right? What happens when, oh my goodness, didn't happen? What happens in between there? What happens when we don't see that, or the miracle doesn't happen? So I asked myself, did the disciples have a 100% success rate on healing? I think they probably didn't. There's a lot of stuff that they did that wasn't recorded, right? And I think if we expect the power of the Holy Spirit in us, and that to be that dynamite all the time, then we have this huge gap in our experience and our expectation when it doesn't happen. Does that mean that then the Holy Spirit is not in me? Does that mean that I wasn't given that power? And what can happen is that we end up chasing that dynamite. We chase the flashy, that kind of power. We end up going from event to event, trying to experience it again, hoping that, man, this Sunday morning it's going to happen, and or we go conference to conference, we go to revival to revival, chasing that next big move of God, because we need that experience to prove to us that the Holy Spirit's still in us. Because that's the only time that we have that power, right? That experience with God. And like I said, I've experienced that. It's incredible. I've seen some amazing things happen. But I think there is a different power that we receive that has nothing to do with big, flashy events, spectacles, that kind of a thing, and everything to do with the personal one-on-one ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life. And the crazy part is, it is every bit as miraculous and powerful. It's just less flashy. You know, what I'm talking about is growth. Talking about personal change, spiritual maturity, right? I know it doesn't sound very powerful, doesn't sound very exciting or miraculous, except maybe in those circumstances where, you know, little Johnny was a gangbanger and all of a sudden the Spirit moved in his life and he's leading a church of 3,000 people now. That's pretty miraculous, right? We see that. Oh my goodness. That's that dynamite kind of a thing again. So it doesn't seem very flashy or exciting, but I want you to stop and think where you were 10 years ago. Think about where you were 5 years ago, 1 year ago in your walk with God. Hell, there is a power at work within you that is supernatural. It is not the natural course for things to take in a human life if you're born again. Think about where you were in your walk with God 10 years ago. Has it changed? Have you changed? I'm not asking if you've done any miracles since then. I'm asking when the last time that you made a decision in your life that was different than it would have been if the Lord hadn't made you new. Probably yesterday you made a decision that was different than it would have been if the Lord hasn't made you new. That's power. That's power. What have you gone through in the last year that 5 years ago would have absolutely broken you, demolished you? You would have fallen apart, but because God is in you and working in you, and the power of the Holy Spirit within you, you're still trucking, right? What habits have changed? What desires or temptations are no longer there? What desires or temptations are there but don't have a hold on you like they did 5 years ago or 10 years ago? That's the power of the Holy Spirit doing work. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will have, or you will receive power, supernatural ability, superpower, okay? You got superpowers. Powers that are not natural for a human to have. And I'm looking at the scripture, I'm looking at a list in the scripture that we call the fruit of the Spirit, that I think is a list of power at work within you. Galatians 5, starting in verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. What's that? The deeds of the flesh? That's what's natural before Jesus, right? Before you were born again. The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hostilities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and all and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the stuff that's natural for people under Adam, right? Under sin. But the fruit of the Spirit, the supernatural power that is at work within you because of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Are you looking at that? Are you hearing me on this? Patience is not natural for humans, right? Patience is not natural for humans. It's a supernatural quality built in you and grown within you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Self-control is not natural for people under Adam, right? That's why we have laws and we have rules and we have governments, because people don't self-control. They want what they want and they want it now, and that's the way it's going to be. And I'm going to take it. But the power of God within you is self-control. You might look at that list and you go, whoa, I don't have those down perfectly, or for some of you, even a little bit, right? But I see it growing in you. I see it growing in you. And it is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the fruit of walking by the Spirit, of trusting that God has made you new, has already made you new. You already are a new creation. He's put his Spirit in you, and he is doing his work within you as it needs to be done. That's the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit. It's fruit. It's a byproduct, okay? Think about it this way. It's a byproduct. The byproduct of a new nature. This is not the qualification of becoming a new creation or having a new nature. It is the byproduct of being new. Think of it this way. Apple trees are apple trees from the very moment they sprout. That's an apple tree, right? From the very moment that they sprout, it's an apple tree. It's never anything other than an apple tree. It can't be a peach tree and then be an apple tree and then be a pear tree and comes back to an apple tree. It's an apple tree from the moment that it sprouts. Before there are ever apples on the apple tree, it is an apple tree. Because in its nature, it is an apple tree, right? And as it grows and it matures, it'll have apples, probably. Because it's an apple tree. Because it is, in its nature, an apple tree. And then the apple tree grows. And it grows apples, not because it tries real hard and grunts and, gotta put an apple out, right? It doesn't do that. It grows apples because it's an apple tree. That's what it does. Because it's in its nature, it's an apple tree, and apple trees produce apples. Now, it might not produce as many apples as the apple tree next to it. It may not produce the same variety of apples as the apple tree next to it. It might have gotten damaged as it was growing, and one side of it got scarred, and it grows a little less apples on that side of the apple tree. But it's an apple tree, right? You are a new creation. Born of the Spirit. Your nature is now the nature of a new creation. And even if there is little evidence to support that idea, if you're born again, you're a new creation. You have the nature of a new creation. Maybe you're just a little seed sprouting. You haven't produced much fruit yet. Maybe you got run over by a lawnmower. And it's been pretty tough. Life's been pretty tough. But you're still a new creation. And you're a creation that's filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the power of God. And as you mature and grow, there will be fruit. Because the power is within you. The Holy Spirit is within you. And that fruit will be consistent with your new nature. You once had the nature of Adam. Now you have the nature of Christ. And you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can expect that you will begin to produce fruit that is consistent with that nature. It may not come fast, may not come in very large quantities, but you can expect that it'll happen. And it'll happen more and more and more because you have a new nature. That's who you are. And that's what you do. Not because you tried real hard, but because that's what you do. It doesn't come from trying. It comes from being. That's power, y'all. That is power. Ask anybody that has ever tried to change anything about their life. It's hard, right? It's hard. But a power that is working within you to do the changing, independent of your effort and your bearing down and trying real hard, that's amazing. That is power. It's miraculous, and it comes from the Holy Spirit, which has come upon you and dwells within you. I'll tell you about another kind of power that comes from the Holy Spirit, and this idea of receiving power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. John 14, starting in verse 25, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you while remaining with you, but the Helper, the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled nor fearful." Jesus said that he's going to send the Holy Spirit. When he goes, when he ascends to heaven, that the Holy Spirit, the Father would send the Holy Spirit. Guess what he's telling these guys in Acts chapter 1? It's getting ready to happen. I'm getting ready to go. Oh, there he goes. What happens? The Holy Spirit's coming, right? So this is like the action of that happening. He said, He's gonna send the Holy Spirit. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Helper, the Comforter. The Greek word is parakletos or parakletos or however you want to say it. I don't speak that kind of Greek. It means one who will come alongside. One who pleads the case before a judge. An aid, an assistant. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, you ready? This is the power of the Holy Spirit. That you are not alone. The power of the Holy Spirit is that you are not alone. You are not dealing with anything in this life on your own. He's with you. He guides you. He teaches you. He produces the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's a byproduct, right? He's doing it. This is what Phil talked about last week. So I'm not going to preach that sermon again. But the fact that we are not alone because the Holy Spirit is in us. That's power. To never be on your own. For things to never just be up to you. That's power. God dwelling within you for all things. God comforting you in times that don't make sense that you would be comforted. Having peace that doesn't make sense that you would have peace in that moment, right? That he's interceding on your behalf. That's power in daily life. It doesn't leave us searching from one experience to the next of that boom goes the dynamite power, right? We have something more than that. We do have that, but we have something more than that too. That's power in daily life, and it's amazing. And you know what the coolest thing is about that kind of power that's in you? Is that as God works in your life and you grow and he matures you in him by the work of the Holy Spirit, other people see it. Other people see it too. Sometimes better than you do. Jesus told his disciples that the Holy Spirit is coming and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Why? So that you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, Samaria, Judea, all through the ends of the earth. I know the dynamite kind of power is convincing. And I know the dynamite power is responsible. The miraculous works of power are witness to God's goodness in the person of Jesus. And a lot of people come to Jesus because he did something like that incredible in their lives. But I can also tell you the power of a witness who can attest to the reality that I'm not who I used to be. I'm not the old man anymore. God did something and is continuing to do something within me. People see it and they'll ask about it. Well, you're different, right? Why are you different? What do you got going on? What are you into? It's the power of God. It's the power of God changing me from within. Jesus said, you'll be my witness from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and the rest of the world. And the next thing you know, somebody's wanting a piece of that action that you got because they're trying real hard in their life and things aren't going so well and they want to know what's happening with you. By the power of the Holy Spirit who is in you, he is your helper and your comforter. He is producing good fruit in your life because you're connected to the vine. That is a witness for the finished work of Jesus. Y'all, you can try and change your life. You can change some habits. You can start a self-help plan with 6 easy steps to happiness and wholeness. But if it's all in your effort, I don't know. I wouldn't put a lot of stock in it. But the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit within you, that's permanent. That sticks. And the best part is, it's not dependent on you. It's him. It's his work. It's the Holy Spirit within you producing fruit. You're trusting him to produce the fruit within you. In Romans 1, I had a hard time highlighting this one because I preached out of that one before. Romans 1, starting in verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous one will live by faith." I know you might come here every Sunday and think, oh, here we go again. Another message about righteousness, another message about my identity in Christ. I'm a new creation. I know all that. But what difference does it actually make in my life? What difference day to day does it, what does it have to do with it? It makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. Paul says, the gospel, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news that when you surrender your power and your rule over your life to him, when you surrender it over and you say, Jesus, I can't do it. I tried. I even tried to do your teachings. When you surrender that over and say, Lord, I need you to make me new. I can't do it. I cannot do it. That's the good news. That's the good news, that you're a new creation, that you have a new nature. It's in Christ. That good news is the power of God in you. It is the power of God for salvation. It's the power of the Holy Spirit coming to live within you. It's the miracle of God doing the work within you and producing the fruit. Why? Because Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives within me. He's the one doing it. God working within you to grow and to mature and to produce fruit that is consistent with your new nature. I want you to understand that this thing that we call getting saved, it's not just a commitment you make. This thing that we call a conversion, we're not talking about a converting the mind and thinking of life in a new way. That's not what we're talking about. This is a supernatural spiritual event where you are born again. Born again, made new. It is a spiritual reality that you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, I didn't make that up. I didn't write it. He says it, right? He wrote it. Had a conversation with somebody last week and I expressed that and they said, well, you never are. I said, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right now, because of Christ Jesus. Never because of me and because of what I do or how much fruit I produce. It's because of him. I want you to understand that that is a spiritual reality. And that spiritual reality and that supernatural transformation that takes place right here affects all of this out here. And your understanding of yourself and how you see yourself and your struggles and all of those things, it is absolutely affected by whether you think, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus right now, even in the midst of this mess that I made, or I better just crawl off, go under a hide under a rock and hope God forgives me one day. Absolutely makes a difference every single day of your life. It's not because you're trying to be consistent with some new high ideals. It's because that's actually who you are now in Christ. That's naturally what you do now. That's the supernatural power, the spiritual reality that changes your world and changes the world around you. This word receive has been, I mean, it's at the center of this message because it's you will receive power, right, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. But it's been playing on my mind, and I had to write it in marker because I forgot to write it as I was working on my notes. The idea that you will receive power, you can kind of choose to not acknowledge that, right? Or you can welcome it with open arms. You can choose to not acknowledge the fact that you've been given this power and that supernaturally the Holy Spirit will produce fruit in you. And you can say, yeah, but I still got to try real hard. And yeah, I've still got to make this happen and I'm still going to work on that plan and all that kind of stuff. Or you can receive that power and say, Lord, it's you. And I'm going to let you. You can receive that. I understand the temptation to chase after the power that is the dynamite power, right? Dynamis, whatever, however you want to say it. The desire to go from event to event to experience the powerful moves of God. I understand that desire. I've experienced those things. But what happens in between? What happens in between is you have the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit working within you, producing good fruit, producing things that are consistent with your new nature in Christ. Because it's absolutely real, this whole new nature thing. Absolutely real. Why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to sing some more songs to him, just a couple. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing in us. Thank you for giving us new hearts, new spirits, new minds. You took us from spiritual death to spiritual life. And Lord, that's where we want to live. That's where we want to focus. That's what we want to understand more and more. Thank you for this power. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who is the very nature of God. And so the very nature of God and his power lives within me. Lord, would you help us to trust that and trust you rather than to try to take control again? Would you help us to let you fix the things that need to be fixed rather than trying to fix them ourselves? It's kind of wild, Lord, but it's the way you do it. So we're going to trust you more and more in it. Would you help us? We love you. Amen.